let's double your business revenue. How? Arian helps you save time and money by helping you through your employment challenges. A recent study revealed that organizations like Arian can help you double your revenue by handling your HR tasks like payroll, benefits, onboarding, and compliance. With Arian as your HR partner, you'll also experience more productivity, better benefits, and mitigated risk, all while doing what you love to do, your business. Start increasing your revenue. Visit AureOn.com.
When you think about AARP, you no doubt think about aging. In reality, AARP Iowa is all about family. From lifting up family caregiving concerns to the Iowa legislature, to providing reliable information on fraud, to supporting art and culture, AARP is all about creating a better state for all of us. Learn more and get connected with the real possibilities of AARP Iowa. Google AARP Iowa and let's get started with you and your family. AARP Iowa. We're really about possibilities. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. This is Marketing for Business, Episode 21, Part 2, as a matter of fact, with Phil K. James from Good Milkshake Digital. And we're now going to dive into retail and some issues that revolve around retail and consumers and innovation. Phil, welcome back.
Hey, it's always the
highlight of your week. I love it, man. All right, so let's talk about first a very successful project and its birth. And we're going to be talking about Trader Joe's.
Sure.
Go.
I mean, you've been into a Trader Joe's, you likely felt like you're on a Caribbean cruise or something. It's very welcoming and friendly, and they all have their little idiosyncrasies, and their branding is on point everywhere. From the chalk written on, kind of the chalk written, handwritten notes next to all of their things. So they're
even the pricing.
The pricing is low. You can get healthy, healthy stuff,
and private labeled.
Yeah, it's all private labeled for them. There are a couple of things, cheese products and things like that, and also. I think their bananas are also
in wine.
They have
private label wine, but they also have, yeah.
There you go.
So let's talk about where that concept came from and how it all originated. And a stunning statistic about sales per square foot.
Their founder is Joseph Colombe. He started in 1958, ended up selling it in 1979 to the Aldi stores. But basically he was worried that the 7-Eleven chain, basically he had worked for a local grocer chain in Los Angeles called Pronto. And Pronto had basically, he determined that their products were almost identical to those of the 7-Eleven stores. So he was like, I don't think this is going to work out. And he ended up buying the stores from the Pronto family, or the people that owned Pronto, and rebranded it as Trader Joe's after going on a Caribbean cruise or Caribbean vacation and sort of figuring out that that he wanted people to feel that sort of like no pressure, like not in your face, like that sort of feeling when you go in. That's why people wear Hawaiian shirts when they're in there. And they, like you said, they do a vast majority of it private labeled, which is great. Because
increases the profit margin.
These are generic products for the most part. They don't have to be heavily marketed. And so you go in there and you kind of know what to expect every time you go. And this statistic, this is the kicker. They have more sales per capita or per square foot than any other store and any other grocery chain in the United States.
That's amazing.
It blows my mind that they're able to do that without really having any national brand presence. You don't see,
And you don't see them all over the place. No. I mean, here in the greater Des Moines metro, we have one.
Right.
And you have to drive out to East Omaha to get there.
And my wife does.
Yeah.
She does. She goes all the way
from
Beaverdale.
It's a destination.
Yeah. And, you compare that, they you know, more sales per square foot, twice the amount of sales per square foot than Whole Foods, with roughly the same products. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Wow. So that's the story.
Right.
And so it's all about the customer experience.
Right. And if you go there, you meet one of their employees. Their employees are knowledgeable about all their products. They are willing to go out of their way to find those products for you if you need them. If you just say, I need help walking through here. They make it so easy that, you know, it's...
Well, well-trained, knowledgeable employees.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that serve up a positive customer experience could be maybe one of the reasons that Aldi is so successful. I mean, I'm sorry, Trader Joe's is always so successful on the square foot, you know, sales per square foot. Now, contrast
and usually
that,
bearded and tattooed and all that stuff.
Contrast that with Aldi. Aldi is, I love going to Aldi because it's like the United Nations of grocery stores.
you can get everything.
You hear all kinds of languages and dialects and things like that. But very low on the customer experience because you're going there for price, but very high in the value proposition.
Sure.
Yeah, and those stores are all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aldi's,
all right, we're talking with Phil
same,
K. James.
Same family, though.
Yeah, same family. Right.
Same, it's, yeah.
You know what I wish? And I said this to people in the Village of Windsor Heights several years ago. They should have brought a Trader Joe's to Windsor Heights.
Oh,
can you imagine that?
That would have been crushed.
That would have been boom. But they didn't.
And they didn't get an Aldi's in there either.
No, they didn't. And that's another story.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the customer experience. And a friend of mine on Facebook posted this, Phil. And this is something we've talked about many times before, how concerned we are for local retailers because they're becoming dinosaurs.
Terrifying.
Bill Heckroth, friend of mine, posted on Facebook the other day that he loves to support local businesses. Well, he was looking for a part for his lawnmower. And so he went to several lawnmower stores, privately owned, not big box, seeking this part. And he was told at every single place, I'm sorry, we don't carry that part.
Wow, that's incredible.
That was it. I'm sorry, we don't carry that part. So what did he do? He went online, and he bought the part online.
On eBay or Amazon or something like that, right?
So the question here is, what should those retailers have done?
Well, there are a couple of different things at play there. Number one, those retailers shouldn't have to carry every specialty item in the world for their clients.
It's true.
On the other hand, if I'm a customer looking for experienced folks at my place, I might be in the market for a lawnmower down the road. If I'm going to go to a lawnmower store, you know, I would hope that somebody at Sears, let alone the local guy that just sharpens blades and does various maintenance, I would hope that person would go out, bend over backwards, out of their way. It blows my mind when you get bad customer service at a local place.
It does. And all that had to happen, and Bill Heckroth mentioned this in his post, all that had to happen was one of those employees at one of those stores, retail, privately owned stores, say, we don't carry that, but let me see if I can get it for you.
Wow.
That turns the entire experience.
Right.
Now, and that person could have gone on eBay or could have gone on Amazon, could have gone someplace, found the part, bought it, mark it up 20% and sell it to Bill. Bill would have been happy. And he had accomplished his task of working with a locally owned business and wouldn't have had to go online. We've talked about this time and time again.
Yeah. When we talked about this off the air, I had an experience at a local retail store. I won't even name the type of store it is because I don't want to hurt them. But you and I believe so strongly that we should be supporting local stores first. We've talked about this
endlessly,
a lot, right? And obviously, that dollar turns over so much more than if it goes to Bentonville, Arkansas, you know, or Wall Street. So I'm all about supporting local folks. I had the experience of going into one of these local stores, not getting any customer service, writing about it. And then having that person, I just happen to know the person that owns that store, contact me and say, you know, this happened. The point is that you can turn those experiences around at the same time by having that sort of responsive social media as well.
Right.
By noticing that that I had a bad experience at the store.
And you didn't name the store in your post, did
no,
you?
No.
But they just...
And you mentioned lawnmowers. It's funny you say that. I was in the market for a lawnmower a while back and actually went to a national chain, got horrible customer service, left, and bought it from a local person.
There you go. And sometimes that happens. If the employees, again, are well-trained. Now, let's contrast both of those stories. You were looking for a certain product. You went into a specialty, locally-owned product store.
Right.
Bill Heckroth goes in looking for a product. He's told, we don't carry that. You were ignored on that trip. So we need to say that
right.
You walked in there and people just, they were too busy or they just didn't recognize
you.
Yeah,
it might have been a freak occurrence, but whatever.
I understand. Let's contrast that with taking a trip to the Apple store at Jordan Creek.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you walk
what
in there.
What happens there?
It's just like you're swarmed with, I'm almost overwhelmed with people who have so much knowledge. Product knowledge, they all use the product, they're fanboys. You know, these are people that own iPhones and MacBooks and all that stuff. They understand how the iCloud works. They understand how to repair the products, even though they don't do a lot of that there.
And but the moment you walk in the store...
Even if they can't fix it, you walk out and you're like, right. Oh, they helped me. They didn't, but...
Right. But you the moment you walk in the store, somebody makes contact with you. Now, true... They might have 20 people working the floor at the Apple store.
Right.
But they've also got 50 or 60 people in the Apple store.
Right, right.
As customers.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. When you walk in, somebody sees you and ba-boom. And I think that's all in training as well. You
right.
think?
Right. It's. I'm sure they're showing a million videos. Showing a million videos and they're given, you know, 100 different, individual training courses. I'm sure they do a lot of role play. And customer experience type of things. Yeah, it's just so basic.
Yeah, it is basic. It really is. So what are the takeaways in Marketing for Business, Episode 21, Part 2? What are the takeaways, Phil, that retailers, especially local-owned retailers, because I think they have an advantage over big box if they'll pay attention. So what are the takeaways for them?
Well, I think when you have a customer walk in, the first thing you should do is greet them in sort of a quick trip style. You know, automatically greet them and find out if they need any help. Now, a lot of people get turned off by salespeople that hover, how can I help you? If somebody says, I'm okay right now, but that's all you need. Sometimes it's all you need. And if they're there for 10 minutes or so, you can come back to them and give them that customer experience. So I think that just at least acknowledge the first acknowledgement. And then if they need something that you have to show them, you have to do sort of a go out of your way to make sure that, I mean, you see this with local restaurant owners all the time. If they don't have something there, they'll go out of their way to cook it for you if it means that you're going to, you know, become a loyal customer, right? So do those special extra things that sort of that wow people. And then also a lot of it is follow-up too. So if you can capture their information in store, you can follow up with that customer. Imagine if they're leaving the car lot and you have their cell phone number. I'm just calling to see how your car was. A lot of car companies do this.
Right.
You know, they're a good example. But, a lot of the car lot, a lot of the, car dealerships do this where somebody either buy a car or test drive a car and 20 minutes later you get a call. Just want to check in on the car. How you doing? And then follow up again with an email. Just want to make sure everything was good,
And so all of this has to do with, number one, acknowledgement. Number two, empathy. Perhaps you have to empathize with whomever your customer is. Number three is to go out of your way. You don't say, we don't carry that part. You might say, let me see if I can get that for you.
Right. There you go.
And then... price, and this is one of the things I think many retailers shy away from. Price at that point sometimes becomes irrelevant.
Mm.
Price becomes, I was well served, I was acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Thing, I get it.
I'll pay 50% more for shoes if I'm. It depends, but 50% more for shoes if I'm giving the highest quality experience I know it's a great product, and I could probably buy it online if I wanted to. I'd go to Zappos right now, buy those shoes or that bike or whatever it is.
And that's what we've talked about so many times in the past, mm-hmm. about being aware, being in the moment, if you will,
sure.
Which kind of goes back to our very first conversation in part one of episode 21 about being in the moment and being aware.
Right.
You go to, for example, Bike World.
Mm.
I guarantee, because I've talked to Forrest Ridgway about this.
Mm-hmm.
He trains his people, and they're all knowledgeable and all helpful. And bicycling today is totally different than what it was 30 years
sure.
ago. You used to be able to go to the local big box store, buy a three speed bike. You know, now this is an investment.
Yeah.
And so people better know what they're talking about. And what do they do? And you get the same thing at many of these bike stores that are here because they understand the product and they understand the relationship. Good stuff.
Yeah, you talk to Forrest quite a bit.
I do,
on the show.
I've had him on several times. And he's just he's a good person, A.
Yeah.
You know, number one. And you know, their slogan at Bike World is... We, the store that supports the sport.
Wow.
And they do. All right, episode 21 in the bag.
Cool.
Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure.
All right, it is Phil K. James, Good Milkshake Digital. And this is Marketing for Business, episode 21. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, for our good friends that are listening right now, thank you so much for clicking through. Our engineer is Tyler Hackenmiller. The sales and marketing fellow is Aaron Libby. Hunter Pease is the voice of the Business News Hour. James Goodlett wrote and produced the music that you're listening to right this moment. For all of our guests, for Phil K. James, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.